I forget a lot.
I don't know about you, but I forget a lot. Amen. Pastor can sit back here and probably tell you a full list of things that I forget. He'll tell me a list, and then he'll tell me another list, and I'll forget everything on that first list. Not only will I write it down, but I'll write it down and forget where I put it. And sometimes I have a problem with remembering things. We could stand here all night and tell you all the things I remember because I just can't remember them. It's a pun of a joke. It was supposed to be laughing, but it's okay. We forget a lot. We're so busy. Our lives are so filled with events. Our life is so filled with things to do. There's things that need to be accomplished. Sometimes the devil puts things in our life that tries to get us sidetracked. There's little things that happen that sometimes gets me frustrated. I got all this to do, and yet something else comes involved, and to me, it frustrates me sometimes. But there's been times where God put things in my life, and I'm thankful that God put it in my path because I was able to lead somebody to the Lord or being able to witness to somebody. But there's also other times that devil wants to sidetrack you and get sidetracked. But one of the things that I know that he uses a lot with me is helping me to forget things. He'll fill my list and my days full of everything you think of. You're like, what? You're just an assistant pastor. Or you're just helping Pastor Pease. Some people think, well, you just don't do anything. You just sit up in your office and, I guess, twiddle your thumbs around. You'd be surprised at things that really need to be done. Things that were neglected. Things that has to be done now because now are causing problems. And they have to be fixed. Sometimes our day gets filled that we even forget it in the morning times to get up and read God's word. Sometimes our day gets so filled that we don't get enough sleep that we need because the night before we stayed up long hours, and we get to the place where we forget about God. Have you ever been to the place in your life where you have been so busy that you stopped and said, God, I forgot to even pray this morning. God, I forgot to even give you blessings this morning for waking me up and letting me see another day. Praising your name. David is the writer to this psalm, or this psalms. I was in a couple years ago, actually, I was my first year of Bible college, and I preached at a camp meeting, and there were full of old preachers there. I mean, I was the youngest person there preaching to teens or kids, but I mean, the whole back room was filled with older preachers, and I was so nervous. And through the whole message, I noticed one guy looking at me the whole time. And sure enough, he come up to me and says something to me. I'm afraid at that time, I'm still afraid. I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want to say anything that God doesn't want me to say. Well, I thought I said something wrong. He comes up to me, he said, I was preaching out Psalms 37. He said, I want you to understand that Psalms is not books of chapters. They're different songs that were sung. And I always remembered that. I thought it was going to be harsh. I thought it was going to be something big, but these are not chapters. These are songs. They're individual songs that people have written that God laid on their heart. We're in Psalms 103. David's now Psalms are coming back on the scene. He went up to all the way to Psalm 75 or 76. And from 76, we don't see him again until Psalms. Even Moses wrote some Psalms before David. And then David comes back on the scene. I believe David had every right to write this psalm. I believe he had every right with what he had went through in his life. I mean, he lost the kingdom, or he was ran out of Jerusalem, the place of dwelling in his life, the place that he grew up, the place that he loved, the place that he knew that God was going to anoint him king to be at, to go through a wilderness or to go through a time of trial and tribulation in his life to bring him to this fact and bring him to this place to make him a better king. We know David wasn't perfect. We're not perfect. David forgot. David forgets things all the time. I mean, if you remember in Psalms 51, or when he repented for the sins that he did, and 2 Samuel chapter 12, where he had sinned with Bathsheba, and he committed that adultery act. I believe he forgot and cast the word of God out of his life, and sometimes that happens to us. The devil gets us to the place where we're so busy, and gets us to the place where we're so consumed with this life, that we forget about the one thing, the necessary thing in our lives. Psalms just start with, bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that's in within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth thee of all thy iniquities, who healeth thee of all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so thy youth will be renewed like the
eagles. Youth would be renewed like the eagles. If you focus in on Psalms 103, verse 2, it says, forget not. Obviously, we have a place where we sometimes forget. I know I get to that place where I just forget a lot of things. But one thing I do not want to forget is my relationship with God. One thing I want to keep in my life, in the forefront of my mind, is my relationship and praising God. Listen to the verse he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Why did David say, bless the Lord? David saying we should bless the Lord? No, that word literally means an adoration of praise. He says, with all that is in me, every bit of my life, I should come to God and praise God for who He is. We'll see in a little bit five verbs that David used to help us to, and reminded himself to praise God. When we worship God, when we praise God, we don't half-heartedly praise God. We're not supposed to. God does not enjoy that. Some people say, well, God just enjoys me worshiping Him. If you're not doing it in spirit and truth, He's not. Spirit and truth is the way God wants us to worship. Half-heartedness is filled in our society. Giving just a little bit. We've been teaching the teens on Wednesday nights. You can't just give God a little bit. God wants all of you. When I come to know Christ as my personal Savior, God changed my life. He came in. I was 18 years old. I was living of the devil. I was living for the world. And God came into my life and He consumed my life. He took everything out of my life from me for my good. God never puts in place in our lives things that will hurt us. He always has the things in our lives, and sometimes things come in our life that will distract us. But David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. In his mind, in his heart, and that word soul means literally his life. Look what it says after that. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Everything and every bit of our being is to praise and to worship God. See, we get so filled with our day-to-day things that we forget about praising God. We forget, my title today is the benefits that are most often forgot. The benefits that we have as a born-again believer. Let me ask you a question. I preached a message the night that I candidated. Does anybody know the title of that message? See, I told you. We forget. We forget. We forget, don't we? We forget. I bet you if I ask half of y'all, and I'm not going to do that, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we couldn't even tell the points of Pastor's message this morning. I can tell you what God laid on my heart, but I couldn't tell you every point. Right? Because we're forgetful people. We forget a lot of things. David gave us five verbs in this passage of Scripture that we ought not to forget. Things that we need. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I believe we should praise God because He is a holy and just God. I believe we should praise God not with half-heartedness, but wholeheartedly worshiping, praising God. Worshiping and praising God is not half-hearted work. We ought to worship and praise God. But then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Then it says, forget not all of His benefits. God has so many benefits for us. God has so many things that He allows us to have in this Christian life here on this earth. We're going to see five things that David pointed out in just three verses that we ought not to forget. Number one, who forgiveth thee of all thine iniquities. I think the biggest thing a Christian could do is forget what God saved us from. Who forgiveth thee of all thy iniquities. This word forgiven literally means to be forgiven. Be forgiven of all thy iniquities. You ask for forgiveness, God forgives you of all our iniquities, all of our sins. David's saying, forget not what God has done. As a born-again believer, God gives us forgiveness of sin. As a born-again believer, when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He forgives us of our sins. That sins usually is in the reference in the Word of God. When it says plural sins, it's the nature or the singular sense is the nature of sin. But when it's plural, it's specific sins. It says, God forgive us of all our iniquities. Everything we have done to a holy and righteous God, God forgives us of it. I believe forgiveness is a threefold process. I believe it's a threefold thing. He forgives us of our past sins. As a born-again believer, I don't have to worry about what's behind me. I don't have to worry about the first 18 years of my life that I've sinned against the Lord. But he also forgives me of my present sins. And he doth yet deliver, the Bible says. That means he forgives us of our future sins. God is a God that is forgiving. God is a God that is righteous and holy and just, and he'll forgive us of our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Then the Bible says to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So John is writing here in 1 John, that talking to Christians. He's not talking to the lost. He's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to born-again believers. So as a born-again believer, I can sin, still sin against God's holy righteousness. I am not perfect at the moment of salvation. I'll have a perfect body. I'm still living in this flesh. This flesh is sin. It's against God. There's three things that works against you. It's the flesh, the devil, and the world. Your flesh is with the world. Your flesh is with the devil. It does everything contrary. That's why the Bible talks about that the flesh and the spirit warreth against each other, because your flesh is a sinful creature. Your flesh wants everything that God does not want you to have. Everything that God says no, your flesh wants, because it's a sinful nature. That sinful nature, I was teaching the teens, it's like a pillow, or if you see a runner running away race, and they got that, or they're practicing, and they got that big old umbrella or that parachute behind them and holding them back. It's basically the same way as our flesh, just dragging along behind us and wants to creep up every now and again and say, hey, I'm here. Hey, you're going to sin against the Lord. But thankfully that God does not leave us in that place, and that we can still have forgiveness of our sins. As a born-again believer. As a born-again believer, we still have the presence of the Lord with us. The Bible says in John that Jesus told his disciples he was getting ready to leave, and he was getting ready to be crucified. He was going to die for the sins of this world. He told them that, listen, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will come unto you. Then the Bible says it'll teach you all things. There's seven characteristics in the John chapter 14, 15, and 16. One day I want to preach seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit of God that it teaches us in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Holy Spirit comes in and confirms in us that we're born again believers. God gives us forgiveness of our sins. And the one thing that I know sometimes that I forget is that God forgave me of those sins in the past. When they creep up behind me and they come up in my life, you think about David and his life and what he was going through. I'm pretty sure he was well up in age. I'm pretty sure he had now already sinned against God twice. He was tempted of the devil and he numbered Israel when he wasn't supposed to. And then he had, well, before that, he committed sin with Bathsheba. The two great sins that brought this terribleness upon his family, not upon his family, but upon the nation. It said for one sin, 70,000 people died. But thankfully that we have a holy and just God that doesn't leave us in our sins, but still forgives us of our sins when we sin against him. One thing we forget a lot, and David's reminded here, is we forget that God gives us forgiveness of sins. The second thing, God only gives us forgiveness of sins, who forgive thee of all thy iniquities, the Bible says, who healeth thee of all thy diseases. That word disease gives a two-part, if you go back to the original language, it gives you a two-part. There's a spiritual disease that we have. You know that spiritual disease we have? Sin. You know what sin does in a Christian's life? You know what it did before you come to know Christ? It created wounds in your life. It created wounds in your life that when God came into your life, he forgave you of them and he mended them. You know what that old devil's still trying to do? Cut those wounds right back open. Cut those wounds. He has healed us. He's the great physician. He heals us of the great sin, which is a spiritual sin, is the sin of our lives, the nature of sin. He forgives us of our sins. But also it talks about a physical healing. He don't just heal us of our spiritual, but he heals us of our physical. You go through the Old Testament, the New Testament, you see the miraculous healing of people with diseases. You think about Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 38, when he had There was a sickness upon death, the Bible says, that he was going to die because of this sickness. And he had prayed to God, and what did God do? Take that sickness away. You know, he was the only man other than Jesus Christ in the Bible that knew when he was going to die. It says, the Bible says it, that God gave him 15 more years. I believe he knew probably even close to the exact time when he was going to die again. God heals. God's the great all physician. He only heals us of our spiritual, but our physical too. Now, if you just go through the Bible, you can see a bunch of things. The centurion servant was healed. He was healed by just God's word saying he was healed. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8 verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he was marveling, and he said unto the them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. God healed a centurion servant. God healed Peter's mother-in-law when she was with a fever. Back then, they didn't have Tylenol to break fevers, and usually a lot of times a sickness or a wound will create a fever in a life, and a fever was very detrimental in those days. There's really no healing for fevers except for time, and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Some of us were like, we don't want that, but Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. That was supposed to be a joke, too. Jesus also healed the lepers. Not only the 10 lepers, but the one leper that he healed in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus is all physician. He heals. God is a God that heals, not only spiritually heals us. And when we sin against God and we break that fellowship, we can never lose our salvation, but there's a fellowship that's now been severed, and Jesus Christ comes back and heals us of that relationship back with God. So we see two verbs here. The first one, that he forgives us of our iniquities. He's a all forgiver. Not only number two, he healeth all the diseases. And number three, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, as a born again believer, before we come to know Christ, our destination was already sealed. Before we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and it really scares me, or it really makes me in the motive that everybody that I talk to, if they are lost, they're destined for destruction. They are already been sealed. If they never truly confess their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there's only one place for them. Jesus talks about this place being a place of torment, a place of gnashing teeth, a place that is no comfort of any sorts at all. Rich man and Lazarus. You think about that story. I believe it was a real story that God used in the Word of God. Some people believe it's the other. It's not. It's just a story. I believe that there's a real hell. And I believe if you're lost and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you've already been sealed to go to that place of hell. But it says he is not only the forgiver, the healer, but he's the redeemer. He redeems us from that destructive life. He redeems us from eternal separation from God the Father. And really that second spiritual death. In Revelations, we see the lost and those that do not trust Christ as their personal Savior be cast into the lake of fire, which is, the Bible says, the second death. And if you're a born-again believer, God in Christ, and Christ Jesus has redeemed your soul from that destruction, has redeemed your life from eternal separation from God, has redeemed you unto himself. The Bible even talks about later on that we are redeemed, or that we are heirs. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. But he redeems us from destruction. So David reminds himself that he got his sins forgiven, that God healed his spiritual state. I believe in Psalms, if you read through Psalms, a lot of scholars believe that David even went through some physical problems. He even healed him from physical problems, but redeemed his life from destruction. And fourthly, he crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. He crowns us. You know that crown represents? A priestly state. We're no more peasants. We are servants. The Bible talks about that. But we are heirs, joint heirs. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There's a crown here that God says He crowns us with loving kindness. I love those two words mixed up in one. Loving and then kindness. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us with an agape love, a self-sacrificing love. He loves us even to the part that He committed His Son to die on Calvary's cross for us. He paid the ultimate atonement, and that was His precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 2 that He is a propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation literally means the atoning sacrifice of our sins. So He's a loving kindness. He crowns us with loving kindness. One writer write this. He said this. Cleansing, healing, redemption are not enough. He must needs make kings and crowns for them. And the crowns must be more precious than were made with corruptible things such as silver and gold. It is stubbed with gems of grace and lined with velvet of loving kindness. These are the crowns. And decked with jewels of mercy. God crowns us with loving kindness. He has His favor upon us. He loves us with an everlasting love, and He's kind to us. He's generous to us. We don't deserve the things that we have. We don't deserve the things. I mean, you think about third world countries, they have nothing. You think about countries like Haiti, where they were destroyed by the Hurricane 5, Matthew coming through. They have absolutely nothing. They've lost everything, but God in His loving kindness protected us. God protects His. There was a church down there that I was reading about that God protected that whole church. It's amazing. A storm run through and then God protects His own. His loving kindness. He's crowned us with loving kindness and also tender mercies. Things that we truly do not deserve were given to us. He crowns us with loving kindness and He crowns us with tender mercies. And then lastly, I'll be done. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things. Who satisfieth. Not only does He forgive, He redeems, He healeth, He crowneth, but lastly, He satisfies. There's truly nothing we can say to come out of our mouth. Any griping, any complaining, that God in His loving kindness hasn't already done for us. There's nothing that should come out of our mouth, any words that come out of our mouth, that's nothing but praise to God. Listen what He says. He satisfies our mouth. All we get to do, and thankfully all we can do, is not complain. It's not murmur. It's not bicker. But the Bible says He satisfies our mouth with good things. The good things in this life God gives us because we are His children. He wraps us in loving kindness and mercy because He loves us. And the Bible says He satisfies our mouth. And yet half the time I'm doing is complaining. Why? Because I forget that God has forgiven me of my sins. I forget that He healed me of the spiritual death and He constantly heals me of physical pains and physical problems. And not only that, He redeems my soul from destruction. Not only does He redeem, but He crowns my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. And lastly, He satisfies. So David is saying, forget not. If he's saying forget not, obviously he's saying that we do forget. And that he's reminding us not to forget these things. God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross. And really, how can I go without my day without thanking and praising Him? Why? Because I'm so busy? Why? Because I have things to do? Why? Because the day advances fast? And we forget to praise God. This praise, this worship, literally means an adoration. Every bit of our being. You know, when God says something once, we ought to listen. But when God says something twice, I think he's trying to tell us to doubly listen. What does he say in the New Testament? Verily, verily. He wants you to listen. This is something that he wants us to have. So David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Then what does he say again? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So saying we can forget, but we ought to forget not. And some of the most things that God does in our life, we forget the most. I heard a man say this, and I know a pastor said this. He's 102 in our church, and he said this. He said, I can't remember those things I want to remember, but I can't forget those things that I want to forget. And how true is that in our own lives? Father, we love you. The best that I know how, Lord, I tried to give what you wanted tonight. Lord, I pray that you work on the hearts of your people.